Hey guys, it's episode 4 of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. It's Drew and I, and we're discussing a lot of random bullshit, and we're going to enjoy it. Hopefully you guys keep on tuning in. What do you say? Let's get into it. Here we are, guys. Episode 4 of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. I am with my co-host, Andrew Merrick himself. We are going to be talking about a whole lot of nonsense right now because we recorded this podcast already and it didn't seem too safe. So you guys are going to be missing a lot of humor.
We're real pros around here.
We're very talented, but when you start drinking beer, you start losing focus on things that are really important.
Who'd have thought?
I think my kids are outside right now still. It's about 12:30 at night.
Yeah, whatever. Just give him, I think one of them has a shovel, the other has an axe or something.
I put two pieces of steak around them, and there's some really nice looking, like, mangy dogs outside. They're in packs. They howl a lot. I don't know if you guys know of them. But yeah, they're going to take care of them, I think. I want to see if McCoy can actually be Mowgli.
It's like 300, dude.
Oh, gosh. McCoy's going to come in here with a big pelt on himself. But here we are, guys. We're going to be talking about the Vikings' big addition, the extension himself of Danielle Hunter. Drew, what is your take? What do you think we're going to do next?
What do I think we're going to do next? Well, to be honest with you, Hunter signing was exactly, I think, what I thought the Vikings would do, because 5 years, $75 million, I think, is what they signed him for. Mm-hmm. But in today's day and age, you have... You know, you got to make decisions on what positions. I think most general managers and coaches will say you start building from the trenches out. Especially if you don't have that franchise quarterback, defensive end is might be the most important position in football.
I think so.
It's up there. And Hunter is still 23 years old. He's got all the physical tools. He's getting better every year, and it was a signing that, quite honestly, I thought that they were going to make that signing before Diggs. I knew they were going to make it before the Barr signing. Mm. But now the money, it kind of makes it a little bit of a stickier
situation
because you do have to re-sign those other two guys.
Because, yeah, you have Diggs and you have Barr that are basically banking on doing that.
Yeah, and they have the money to sign Diggs and Barr. But I think that they want, you know, I think that they also want to try and get Waynes back too. And I think one of them will have to take a friendlier, you know, team contract.
Waynes is that guy though.
Yeah, I think he would be probably the one that would have to. Otherwise, they just move on. Because Zimmer is, you know, he's a DB whisperer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where they locked down their other defensive end, so they got two very good defensive ends now, and they can get after the quarterback. And he's, like I said, he's 23 years old. He's got all the tools in the world. He still hasn't reached his ceiling by any means. He's still learning, but he's playing under Zim. He's gonna have a chance to be a really good NFL player for a long time, and it's a deal that I'm glad the Vikings got done. But yeah, it does. Bring into light the fact that Diggs and Barr are going to want their money too, and especially Diggs. I know Diggs has already talked about, read an article today where Diggs was quoted as saying, you know, I'd like to be paid like a number one receiver. He goes, and he pointed out the Jarvis Landry contract with the Browns, which was 5 years, $75 million.
And the Browns are looking for somebody to keep up on too. Like they're looking to base somebody on their team. Right. Where Diggs is around.
Yeah, and they went out and got Landry, and they paid for him. But Diggs has already said he wants to be paid somewhere close to that, which I think that the Vikings were hoping that he would take more in the area of 10-11 mil. Yeah, like a 5 year 50.
Yeah.
Instead of a, you know, 5 year 75 with the, or whatever, you know, like the 14 mil a year, 15 mil. I think that they're trying to get everybody similar contracts, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You get guys like Thielen Thielen's on a 3-year team, unbelievably team friendly contract, and that's gonna be another one we're gonna have to address down the road, but we got him locked up for a few years.
But do you think Thielen's gonna come back with another big year?
I do. He's he's too good of a receiver. I mean, you just watched him last year.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great route runner. He's got great hands. I mean, amazing hands.
He does everything right, except he doesn't have the top end speed. But you don't need it when you constantly find space.
He still runs like a 4.5. It is like I love when we talk about top end speed. Talk about like 4.5.
You're
like,
right. Yeah,
it's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, we talk about it like it's like top end speed is like gotta be
Meanwhile, as we're running to first base, it's
I'm winded. I'm reaching for a beer, like crawling to first base.
All 90 feet, yeah. We're like crawling to first base, and it's like. Did you guys clock me it? Like, no, the sundial ran out a long time ago.
Yeah, the hourglass already got filled up there, pal. No, that's the thing too. Like, Thielen's not considered fast from a wide receiver standpoint in the NFL. But the guy's always creating space for himself. He's always going to be open a lot, especially with Diggs on the other side of the field and with Rudolph. Cousins' favorite position to throw to. He loves his tight ends. So like,
came from what, J.R. Reed and Vernon Davis, like 2 years.
Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis, and he's always been good. He's always been good at throwing to tight ends. He's always kind of picked out his tight ends very well, because he really hasn't had receivers either. That's probably half the battle.
Did you just quote Captain Planet right now?
What did I say?
That's half the battle. Like, saving Earth, and that's half the battle. Like, I'm pretty sure you just did that right now, and you just put your hands on your hips. Like, why do you still have your hands on your hips right now? Like. Oh, you're just sitting in your balls. Never mind.
You're right on one of those things. It's a move the Vikings had to make. I'm glad that they made it, and I think looking down the road now, it's another thing that the Vikings can just get out of the way and move on to the next guy and try and get everything locked down. Get everybody re-signed that they want to get re-signed. Obviously it's got to be like a one and it's one at a time type of deal because there's going to be negotiating. There's guys that they're going to want to get as much money as they can, and some are going to be there might be a guy that wants too much and the Vikings might part with. Who knows? They're set up very well now, and that contract is a good contract for a defensive end, and he's a good player, and he's still 23, which is incredible to me because he seems like he's been here for 4 years, which he's been here for two and a half, he's been here for three now.
Okay, so now coming forward through, obviously, Danielle Hunter being signed, what are the next key positions that you're looking at?
Well, like,
obviously, you got Stephon Diggs, but like, are you going to sign Barr? Are you going to try to be friendly with Barr? Or
I think that's the guy that they're going to play the biggest game of hardball with, because I think you can, what Barr does, I think you can replace that, or you can cover that up, or you can play with a one less linebacker and go and play more nickel if you got an extra if you got an extra corner that can play the nickel. I think that you don't have to have three linebackers on the field,
and
there's some things that Barr is. There are times that Barr disappears during games. He's the guy, in my opinion, he's the guy that the Vikings are. There's going to be some hardball played there. Whether or not one of them caves or whatever, who knows. But I think they got the money for everybody. They just kind of got to. It's a delicate situation, and I think the Vikings will figure it out. But in the grand scheme of things, what's it really matter if we're just going to fuck it up in the NFC title game every year? So, no, I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, going forward through with that, we discussed a little bit earlier, is that now next year's team, obviously, we're hoping for the best. Basically, we're putting everything into next year.
We're hoping
that it works out.
This everybody, the front office, players, like everybody is. This is like you got to do it soon. If it's not this year, next year, we got our window here.
But now you have Murray. Who is the running back who's going to be probably contracts up next year?
Contract. He's another guy contract here, but then, that's another position too. You can go and find a guy in the fourth.
You can go and find a guy.
You can find a running back in the fourth that can do some things that he can do.
We discussed earlier, we're also banking on Dalvin Cook to actually
stay healthy. Right?
Come back and be healthy.
Which we hope, because he's dynamic and he's the kind of guy that can change a game from the running back position, which not a lot of guys can do anymore. That's a position that's just not. It's tough to just run out, run through an 8-man box or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's not going to deal with
Booby Miles proved that in Friday Night Lights.
He did. So Friday Night Lights, that's based on a true story, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Booby Miles is a real person, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Because usually you just make shit up. So I don't know. Like,
I think it's based on true events or based on a true story.
Names are the same, though.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, the whole thing about that was, like, he was the one guy that, like, tore his MCL? Or was, like, a partially torn ACL?
Yeah, running back, yeah.
So basically, he could laterally run fast, but, you know, side to side, it was, like, what he was good at, couldn't do it.
So he's basically Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But with dreads.
Right.
So
that's he's got to braid it up.
Oh yeah, 100%. But like, that's another thing too. Is like, why? Like, okay, so like, all these players are complaining about getting their hair tugged on and stuff like that.
Cut it.
Why the fuck do you have dreads in? Go bald. Why do you have a pony in?
Yeah. Go bald.
Why just not go bald?
Do the manly thing. Go bald.
Exactly. If you're bald, that's a man thing to do.
Hey man, they call it
anywhere.
The word they
anywhere
use.
Anywhere, bud.
Is you look? I think it's refined. Which I don't understand.
I was going to say regal.
There's a word people use for it, though, when you're bald. It's a way of them saying...
It's called alopecia.
No.
Alopecia.
It's a way of them saying it nicely to you, like...
Alopecia.
Shut your goddamn throat. It is...
Charlie Bellin wave.
It is... What's
the word? Rag cheesier.
Okay. Alopecia. All right, Bob. We're going to move on. Distinguished. When people want to make a bald guy feel good about being bald, they call them distinguished, which is a backhanded compliment because I feel like...
I think they're talking about like...
That's the word people use. You look distinguished. And it's almost like an insult because you know that it's oh, okay. So you can't even see... That's the only word you can come up with. Like,
but like, can you pull it off though?
Pull what off?
Like, can you be like... Are you just saying that because I'm bald? Are you just calling me distinguished because I'm bald?
I mean, sometimes you got to put people to the test.
I mean, it's a little bit different.
You just got to be like, hey, what do you mean by that?
It's a little bit different.
What do you mean by that?
It's a little bit different. Yeah. Like, if somebody goes, oh, I saw your family down by the board. I'm like, are you just saying that because I'm Mexican? Like, you know, it's a little bit different.
Dude, it's bald guy problems.
I think it's like, yeah, it's weird.
It's bald guy problems.
Do you easily get offended by that?
No, I don't care. I stopped caring a long time ago.
I feel like you should put down that knife right now because you're getting really heated.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, it's a butter knife, Drew.
Bobby, you ate all your quesadillas already, huh?
Told you.
Man, those are gone quick.
So I saw a recipe online, and...
You know how to make this by... When you're born, you know how to make this.
That is probably the most racist comment I've ever heard. But, no, it was... so I saw this, like, a recipe popped up, like, in my Facebook one day. It was called Way Tacos. And tacos way, and this guy was making these unreal tacos, and I was like, that looks so good right now. And today I decided to get like everything for it. There's nothing special to it, like aside
it's
from
like,
making
it's like guac. It's like
Guac salsa.
Guac salsa, yeah.
So there's like
it's good
serrano peppers and avocados and garlic and stuff like that. But everything was just bomb. Yeah. Like, it was like just natural. I even bought like a 10-inch, like a 12-inch skillet, so I could cook everything on. Like, that's how devoted I was to making this recipe today.
Sometimes you just gotta cook.
Right?
Just cook up the goods,
man. Then Allison decided to go Whole30, so I had to make like poblano peppers and a bunch of like other bell peppers and just chicken with nothing else on it. It's like, I'm going Whole30. And then I go, alright, well, we don't need to stop at the liquor store today. She goes, For some stuff. I didn't say I was gonna go full. Crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh gosh. My wife is a gem. She's a gem when it comes to that.
Puts up with Bob, so that makes her a saint.
Oh god, yeah.
In itself.
I think anybody that puts up with me is a saint.
But yeah, so we also wanted to talk about
your girlfriend that you have. By the way, Andrew Merrick has a girlfriend. What's her name?
Who? What?
Your girlfriend's name. Amanda?
It's fictional.
Isn't it Amanda? Hug and kiss? I think that's what it was.
Cool.
Drew's looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss if you guys see her on Instagram or Twitter.
That's pretty weak, Bob.
You got a giggle.
But let's talk about your favorite player here.
Nick Punta?
No, we're talking football. Jameis Winston, your boy.
Oh, the dirty.
The guy that just can't The guy that just refuses to obey the law.
Let's get into it. Like, it's not even refusing to. He just knows he can't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Which is, well, like, the most absurd thing.
That's like
90% ever.
Of NFL players.
Yeah, but I don't think even like 90%. Like, Plasko Burress shot somebody in the leg. He shot himself in the leg.
Yeah, so he didn't shoot somebody.
He shot himself.
He shot himself. Yeah.
But he didn't, like, go and still carry a gun after that. Like, that was just flat out it. It was like, I learned
what
to say.
Maybe
you don't shoot a gun.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe I shouldn't carry a gun, loaded gun in my
This jackass just straight up went and he had a rape case brought to him, like, his freshman year of college with a group of other guys, like a videotape, or, like, circulating around. He jumped up on a table in the library at Florida State and started yelling obscenities. And then he got caught stealing crab legs, which I had to be reminded of today, which is, like, a huge thing. He got caught, like, on tape. Like, it wasn't, like, anything subtle.
Like,
walked around the store, like, he was just looking for a way to get out. Like,
yeah. It's like, I know there's cameras there. I'm Jameis Winston. I'm getting away with this.
Yeah. I think he even did a stiff arm.
Yeah. He may have stiff armed a clerk.
But then recently, like, he finally got, like, I think not convicted, but, like, he was actually told that he actually had to get suspended from the NFL
for three games suspension.
Because of, like, assaulting an Uber driver.
Yeah, like, this guy's got, like, his rap sheet's just building up right now. And
right?
It's shit that, like, he's just, like, he's dumb. He's a dumb, stupid decision maker.
It's just arrogance. It's pure arrogance.
I think it's a lot of the fact that he knows that he's probably going to get a slap on the wrist. Like, he's not going to go to jail for this. He's not. He's going to his punishment is at 3 games without pay in the NFL. His punishment. It's not.
Yeah, so
nobody
games,
thinks about the
3 games without pay. But what's to say that his pay is not going to be backdated from 3 days ago, like next game?
Like, he's just starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, it's money doesn't matter anymore at this point. But like, if you're a Buccaneers fan, if you're a Buccaneers coach, if you're a Buccaneers front office person, at what point in time do you say to yourself, "We gotta get rid of this fucking guy"?
Cut our losses?
Yeah.
I 100% agree
talented,
with you.
He's talented. He's a good player. He's just stupid. I mean, and even as a quarterback, he's kind of dumb. Like, he's not...
No, yeah.
He's a terrible decision maker.
There's really not any
he's
smart...
He's a terrible decision maker on and off.
There's not any smart decisions, bar none, like, what's going into his play calling here.
Yeah. He's a guy that's going to throw 4 touchdowns in a game sometimes, but he's going to throw 3 picks. He hasn't proven that he can go multiple games without turning the ball over. He throws tons of interceptions.
He throws tons of interceptions, and I think it's one of the shittiest things that he does. Because I always...
Well, you mean outside of diddling people that he's not supposed to be touching inappropriately?
Exactly. But you take a look at it. The guy's constantly squinting. Like, at what point in time do you look at yourself and you're just like, get some fucking contacts in so you can actually make some better reads on the field?
I don't think it's that. I think he's just stupid.
He's that arrogant, like, but he's that arrogant about it, though. Like, he should be making these plays. He should be doing this. But I don't know. He's not a player that I can agree with that plays the game nowadays. In no way will I ever see him in my top 5 of all-time quarterbacks ever.
Well, yeah.
I don't care if he wins 17 Super Bowls from now on. Like, I don't care if he throws his arm off in a Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
He's not a good quarterback.
He's
got some talent, but he's not a top 15 quarterback in this league.
You talk about...
Not a Pro Bowler.
No, and I don't hold him up to the regards of, like, a Tom Brady or, like, we talked about, like, an Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees, for God's sakes. I mean, they're just miles apart. They're miles and miles apart. And I think that's what's absurd about it, is that people make such a big deal about Jameis getting caught again. Well,
it should.
When you're an idiot, you're going to get caught.
Yeah, and it, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like the team needs to do something. Well, I mean, is 3 games enough for that? I don't think it is, because he's done stupid shit in the past.
Well, we have Julian Edelman just got caught for his first time using PEDs. 4 games. 4 games. Jameis Winston, multiple issues. Two or three revolving around sexual issues.
Yeah, and violence against women.
And he's getting 3 games finally? Just 3?
Yeah, it's the NFL is its own system, and they do things in a very stupid fashion.
I feel like
when it comes to, like, suspensions and
when they look at him and they're like, "Well, we have to do something here, and we're gonna give you 3 games,"
Just don't go to get any like stuff at the grocery store. We don't need you coming out with any crab legs.
Get somebody to get your own groceries. Get somebody to go get it for you. It's like, maybe don't talk to women anymore.
And avoid libraries. Avoid libraries.
Libraries, yeah.
Don't call an Uber.
Yep.
Maybe try Lyft.
Yeah, yeah. Wear pants in public.
Just stupid stuff.
And that's the thing. It's like he's a guy that's he's got a history. Like I don't think it's gonna stop. And hopefully the Bucks make the right decision the next time he screws up, because he's probably going to screw up again.
Oh, yeah.
To just, you know what, cut your losses, move on. And
a guy has done it 4 times.
When this guy's unemployed, it'll be, you know, he'll have figured out, you know.
That'll give him a real reason
to squint. A reality check.
That'll be like a real reason to squint. Like him looking outside of like the Bucks stadium, like actually squinting. He's like, I can't see the score of the game. Did I get a play?
Yeah.
Did I get a play?
Like, that's... Yeah, and you like think about it. Like, I mean, think about all the quarterbacks in the league. It's kind of weird because the quarterback's the leader of your team. How many quarterbacks in the past can you think of that have had criminal problems? One.
Peyton Manning.
What did he do?
He was a drug mule.
What was he now?
That's 100%.
Okay, cool.
Manning was a second drug mule.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They smuggled hashish and heroin in.
Sure. I mean, like...
That's why they wore those shorts, so they could look inconspicuous.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, those high-weighted shorts. But why the hell is that? That's a crime in its own. They should get busted by that. Those dad shorts that they wore that were, like, 20 inches off, like, their, like, kneecap.
No, that's Larry Bird shorts.
Oh, my God. They were in Larry Bird shorts before Larry Bird was wearing those shorts.
Yeah?
Larry Bird looks at his shorts and they're like, those are too short. John Stockton.
He's like,
oh, no, never.
I can see your wiener.
Yeah. You guys ever think about getting longer shorts?
Yeah. No, that's, it's such a dumb thing, too, because, like, you think about all the quarterbacks in the past, like, Name a quarterback. Any quarterback.
Any quarterback I want.
Peyton Manning, Montana, like anybody. None of them, like the leaders of your team.
None of them wore those shorts. Yeah.
They were leaders. Quarterbacks are meant to be your leaders on and off the field. I mean, and you look at all the quarterbacks in the history of football.
I think that's exactly what it is.
How many of them had like a rap sheet like Winston? Winston's supposed to be the leader of this team.
Montana was rolling with NWA for a while.
Yeah. Like, it's just, the guy's such
a... No, but that's what you mean. Like, I understand you 100%. Like, there's nobody with a rap
sheet. That position, you can't put up with too much of that shit.
No.
Like, you can, I mean, there's guys that are gonna, you know, it's the NFL. Like, these are guys that have, you know, they have all the money in the world. Some of them are gonna make some stupid decisions. But you don't want your quarterbacks doing that. Like,
never in the world do you want your quarterbacks
doing that. You don't want anybody doing that, obviously. But, you know, like, it's to be a leader of a team, it's you're putting yourself first when you do shit like that. And that's when you're leading your team.
Tenfold.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just he's an idiot and he needs to get his shit together. And if I think he's got one more chance. And if not, the Bucks need to do something. Like, cut him, trade him, something. Like, he's just... He shouldn't be playing quarterback.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to actually be like, well, we need to invest in him right now. We can make it work.
No, I agree 100%. It's he's a talented guy. Like, he has a chance to be good, but he's proven that he's stupid.
On the field, he's very arrogant, and off the field,
the guy turns the ball over a ton.
Yeah, I don't get some of his reads. Like, I honestly, like, well, I mean, I'm not a pro quarterback, but like, obviously,
he throws into double coverage more than anybody I've ever seen.
Right? Like, it's just not me seeing it. Like, why would you make that throw?
Yeah, and.
And obviously, it's a faster-paced game. Like, it's different from me seeing on TV where I'm seeing
a lot of him in college, though, too. Even when he won a national title, he was always thrown into tight windows that he could get away with it. He could get away with it in the college, but he can't get away with it in the NFL. He still thinks that he can.
When everybody's at that level, he can't do that.
He's trying to fit balls into tight windows where those windows are not big enough. And he's not accurate enough.
There's a conscious thing, I think, there, too, as well. Because if you look at it, he's throwing these tight windows, and he's going to get intercepted. Brett Favre did that. Brett Favre's going to go right back at that position. He's going to throw it just as hard as he did before. He's going to make that throw happen.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
And he's whereas, better at it. He's better at it.
Jameis hesitates a little bit more. Like, I didn't make it before, but I'll try it again.
And he's not nearly as accurate as far as he.
No.
Not nearly as accurate.
But that's just, I think it's a bullshit life that we live in now, is that we have to actually consider him being a Hall of Fame quarterback. But it should never be the case, I don't think.
Winston Hall of Fame quarterback? Nobody has to consider that, because he'll never be that, ever.
So guys, we actually got to test out. We got to test out Indie Brewing. We're talking about Shenanigans Summer Ale. I thought it was pretty delightful. Drew, what did you think?
After the fifth one, it tasted. They're pretty good, you know.
After
the fifth one, it tasted pretty good.
Yeah, we have quite a mixture here right now of beers, but we're going to be moving into Arrogant Bastard Ale. This is my first time ever trying this one. They're based out of nowhere the fuck I can tell you. But there's 6 pints. There's 6 pints in their case, which is very surprising. So we're going to see.
I have an open mind. I'm still working on the Indeed here, but yeah.
Oh, you might like that.
All right. Well, I gotta finish this one first. Like,
all right, Sally. Can you put your pinky down for one sip, like one time? Like,
you know what?
If you're distinguished.
Distinguished.
Put your fucking pinky down, yeah.
We talk about that?
Yeah, you talked about building a wall earlier, too, when we were off the air.
No. I don't do that stuff.
When you're sitting outside of Fargo.
I'm not. How about that, though? I'm a Trump rally.
I don't even think about it. Like, I get props for people going to it. Like, I'm not, like, a diehard racist or anything like that. Like,
I guess
to all people their own. I think that everybody should have their own ability to go and vote for whoever they want. I just think that they need to keep their arrogance.
The last thing
I
want to talk about is politics, but I'll just say this: I don't give a shit about them. I don't
politics I or just, but Trump
politics in general. I'll never because everybody's out to protect their own agenda.
Okay, let me talk to you.
Out to protect their own agenda.
Yeah, but so okay, let me talk to you about this. It doesn't really have to do with the politics side of it. Okay. So I posted up something on my Facebook wall, and it was about the whole immigration thing, like, I don't know, United Nations, whatever, was telling Trump or whatever to sign the treaty or whatever to stop, like, separating families at the border, like, segregating them.
Your ADI.
And, you know, that was the whole point. It had nothing to do with, like, illegal immigration. Like, yes, if people are coming here illegally, I don't care if they're brown, white, black, Asian, whatever it is. I don't care. If they're here illegally, you have to deport them. Like, that's the law of the United States. I understand that. But do we have to do it like a Japanese fucking hate crime, basically, like in the 1940s when all the Japanese were put in internment camps? Like, do we have to do that? We have to separate families from the kids?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like,
I thought it was a little intense. That was my only argument.
I only bitch about politics. Yeah. I never talk about anything good about politics.
Yeah.
Even when there is something good that somebody does, I don't care, because I only care about the bad, which is why I don't like politics.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own thing that they're pushing, and everybody, parties and all that stuff separate. Like, it just separates people, basically. You put it into two or three different groups of people, and you just, all these different mindsets are just, so I just live my own life and treat people with respect, which is what you should be doing anyway. So
like, I was commented a few times, whatever, on that post, and the argument never made any sense to me, because it was never touched on what I was actually posting about. I was like, why put children in jail cells is like my only argument.
Right.
Like, just keep them with their families, deport them together.
Right.
Get them out of there. Like, you don't need to separate them at the border, just put them together. That was like my whole argument.
Like I said,
I got chewed out. I don't know how many times, like within one day, like people were just bitching at me.
Yeah, that's how politics work. Everybody hates your opinion and whatnot.
That's what it is. Yeah,
doesn't agree with anything.
If it doesn't match up with what they're saying, then it's fucked.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. No, that's depressing. We're gonna move on. I hate this. I hate this politics shit.
All right, Drew. So we're gonna talk about your next subject. Whoa. Favorite condom sizes, top 5.
Only got one. But I can tell you which one it is.
Trash bag.
Yes, hefty boot. No, that's
Andrew. Here goes bag. Finger condom.
What do we got here? We got. We should touch on. Ooh.
Go for it.
We're gonna touch on.
What's my co-host got?
The movies that we missed from our last segment. We do have to do a shout-out. We have to do a shout-out to the movies that we missed on our top 10 sports movies.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first? Like, I mean, you're pulling yours up right now. I got to do a shout-out to Bryce Hill, a young little boy who is just... He's fighting his dreams of being a BMX rider. Very small, lethargic. He's an amazing young kid. Hey, Bryce, keep it up there, buddy. Keep on eating those apples. Keep on gaining your strength, Bryce. He's like 23 years old. He's got muscles. but Bryce actually dropped a hint at me. He goes, hey, what do you think about Slapshot, Radio, Rudy, and he said Mystery Alaska. First of all, fuck off, Rudy. Rudy is a piece of shit movie because it's Notre Dame. It's a Notre Dame thing.
Notre Dame.
I don't know. And it's no offense to Jeff Skeving, but like, Jeff, I know you like Notre Dame, whatever, but I hate him.
Notre Dame.
Radio? Okay, so me and Drew had different takes on this one, I guess. I thought it was a little overdone. It wasn't so much Cuba Gooding Jr.'s role that he played. It was the way they portrayed Cuba Gooding's role in the movie. I think that he was... They made it seem a little bit too...
I think he got awards for that movie, but I still don't think he was great in it. You know what I mean?
I thought he was good.
Yeah, he was good. I think he might have got some sort of award for that movie. I didn't like his character.
I thought his acting in that movie.
I thought they could have got somebody better to do it. Is what I'm trying to say.
Like Sam Jackson.
What's it always with Sam Jackson? You'd throw him in a Disney movie if you had a choice.
Caught Moana in a heartbeat.
Oh man. Like.
Motherfucker. I was just thinking about it, like Frozen.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, just imagine that, though. No, I don't know. I thought that they made him seem so vulnerable. Like, to me, it was just like, it was like people with like a mental illness or like mentally challenged people, they're people that can do anything on an everyday basis. Like, they made him seem like he was really vulnerable. Was like the sad thing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, it might have been that bad in real life. I don't know. Like,
yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know.
The thing I didn't like about for some reason, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, but I just didn't like him as an actor in that. And I think he won an award for that. But I personally did not like him in that role.
Because I think he played.
Not sure exactly who, but I think that they could have found somebody. That could have been.
Here's the thing though. He had some pretty good roles like prior to that even coming up. Like, he had Pearl Harbor, a pretty solid role.
Yeah, very good there. Yep.
Right. I think it was like Men of Honor.
Jerry Maguire, right?
He was Jerry Maguire too. That's right. But like Men of Honor, he was like a deep sea first like African American deep sea diver for like the United States Navy or Coast Guard.
He's a good actor in total. I just didn't for some reason. Maybe it's just me, but I didn't like him in that role.
Yeah.
I didn't like him in that movie for some reason. That was my one thing on that. That's why I didn't have that in my top 10. We did think about that one before. There's a movie or two here that we just forgot about.
Yeah, we talked about Mystery Alaska.
When we put it together.
Mystery Alaska was one movie that I've only seen like twice. You've seen zero times, I think.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie. That's why I couldn't put it on.
Mystery Alaska was to me, a good movie, but I just, I didn't. There's nothing that hashed any memories back in my head for me to actually say it was in my top 10.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it. I mean, it's one of those movies where...
I mean, if there's...
I'd have to watch it first to see how I gauged it, how I can, gauge it.
It's like, me, but for me, it doesn't
seem like a movie that I would like that much.
Like, The Wire would have been up there pretty well for me. I like the movie The Wire with Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy being, the Marine that was... come back to fight and give all the proceeds back to the dying Marines.
It's another one I've never seen.
It's a good movie.
Check that one out.
But his brother is actually a mixed martial arts fighter too at the same time, so so I'm gonna check out just a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
What do you got?
There's a couple. Slapshot.
We both had. That's why I let you talk about it.
And Slapshot is the one that I just forgot. I just legitimately just forgot to put on my list, but it is a good one.
Slapshot's solid because it is like the first.
It's like a real first hockey movie, you know. Like,
it
is. It's first that people can immediately go to.
Yeah.
What's a hockey movie that you love?
Well, that's, I think that's what everybody directs to.
Somebody goes straight to like Slapshot because everybody seems like everybody's seen it. But like that movie is, it's hilarious, man. Those the Hanson brothers.
And then you have the one asshole that says Airborne. They're like, that's not even a fucking hockey movie, you dick. Like, you pompous asshole. Like, he played one part in that. That was like at the...
The part in Slapshot where the Hanson Mitch brothers Stone. The Hanson brothers they get in a fight before the game and they're bleeding all over each other.
But that's all, like the thing. But I think there's so many people that wanted to be just exactly like them, just like
goons.
Just the goons.
That's hockey, man.
That's hockey in general.
Goons actually existed.
Okay, so speaking of goons, did you ever know a goon that played hockey? Like you, like when you played at UND, did you like hang out with anybody like that? Like
no. Goons? Hockey
like,
goons?
Hockey goons? Solom was like the most non-hockey goon that was a hockey goon.
He's dirtball. That's just how he rolls.
He would butt-end people all the fucking time. There, like, he bragged about a kid bleeding like from his kidneys because like he butt-ended him.
What?
I swear to God. We were playing against like the team. I'm not going to say where because you ain't going to get me here, internet. But he butt-ended a kid and like the kid like, had to get taken off the ice and he was peeing blood because like Solom butt-ended him. Swear to God, because I was the manager for that year.
Well, you know,
that's how I know that.
Doesn't
dude.
Really, I mean, surprise me. He was a dirty player.
He was a dirty. Okay, so let me get this real quick since we're dipping into that. So he did shit like that. I mean, it was like on a constant basis. Someone would do just like some just funny, sketchy
dirty,
shit.
He's a dirtball. He's a dirtball.
But when I stole against Winnie Mac, we were playing Legion Ball.
Would you steal a car?
Typical. Trump voter. But when I stole second base, like, Gusser put me in, I stole second base, and Solom was like, why would you do that? Why? I was like, I got to pad my stats, what else am I going to get in? First year, dude. I ain't going to make it. And I say, you know, Solom's like, just angry with me. Just solid angry with me. And then it was like, right before that, I had to remind him, like, you butt-ended somebody just this past year. You made him pee out of their kidneys, like, blood. Like, you, that's what you did to somebody.
They peed out of their kidneys?
Well, you know, their urethra. I mean, I'm really elaborate.
Yeah, this guy's got some real problems.
But Solom did that, and like, I had to clarify, like, really, asshole, you're going to comment on me after you did this? And he's like, it's way different. I sold a bag. I didn't harm anybody's body. Like, what are you talking about? How is that different?
Oh, because you stole with when
it was like we were up to like 22-1.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta pat my stats. I don't care.
Yeah. That's dirty.
It's dirty to do.
But both of you did dirty things.
Exactly.
You did that, and but you tried to kill a guy.
Exactly. That's my point. Are you gonna say jaywalking is more of a crime than stabbing somebody in the middle of the street and taking their wallet?
Depends.
Is he white or brown?
No, I see what you're saying. It's funny to me because we all.
But like that's like that was okay. That was like my big hockey unit, and like the one person you probably thought if you were to look at him from like a distance to think he was a hockey unit, you'd probably look at Lurch.
I don't think he was Lurch.
But he wasn't. He was like a gentle giant. Like if he hit somebody, he'd be like, "Oh, sorry, I'll pick you up."
I think Lurch is like a. Like
he would check somebody. And he would say sorry every time he hits somebody.
I never watched any of you guys play hockey or anything like that.
Oh god!
But Lurch screams to me like puck moving defenseman. Seriously,
he was good. Lurch was good.
I know he was, but I'm just saying like. I'd never seen him play, but I bet you that he was. I can just picture him being the guy that was really good at the puck.
To bring it back as a reference, he was majestic, like
a unicorn.
The guy
a unicorn.
Blades of Glory. Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
Like the main character was it? Not Will Ferrell's character. The other guy.
A Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
We talk about Rob Hader.
Rob Hader. Is it Rob Hader?
We don't really ask about it.
If you guys want to correct us, you guys
Napoleon. Yeah.
That was like Lurch to me. Like he was just like majestic in his movements. And then he had Solom, who was like, well, Solom was a badass.
You just compared Lurch to Rob Hader in Napoleon Dynamite? Or in Blades of Glory?
No, Blades of Glory.
Oh, okay. I was saying.
Lurch doesn't have those moves, and he knows that. Because, by the way, he lost every dance contest we've ever had.
I believe it.
Imaginary ball right here, Lurch. I'm doing it.
Well, you can't hold it against Lurch. He doesn't know how to salsa dance, and that's your thing. So
why? Victor Cruz does it, like, and he's black. Like, I don't understand that.
No. That's, what the hell were we on there for a second?
We were talking about top cakes.
Oh, cakes.
No, we're talking about Goons. Okay, so we're talking about, like, the brothers from Slapshot.
We're gonna finish up our movie shout-outs here. Slapshot, the Hanson brothers, the part where they're standing in front of the referee, and they just got done getting out of this brawl, and then the national anthem's playing, and they're sitting there looking up, and they're all bleeding out of their face, and the ref just he's panics, and he, like, turns around and, like, looks and goes, any of you guys doing that, I'll throw you right in. I'm trying to listen to the fucking song! Dude, perfect slap shot part. That's the best part of that.
There's a lot of good parts in that movie. I mean, but like, I think nowadays they try to bring in movies like The Goon, for God's sakes. The Goon is good, but like, it's already a slap shot.
It's no.
Go ahead.
Anyways, so. This is these movies are coming from Dan Kelshagen, the guy who legitimately looks exactly like Jesus, with maybe slightly darker hair.
Like Jesus that drives like a 66-7.
He smokes a lot more cigarettes than Jesus.
That's what you wanted though.
Yeah.
Like I don't think God's worried about smoking cigarettes right now.
Yeah, and then he threw out the movie. Caddyshack, which is a little bit
of a classic
on our part too. Great one. That's like the great actors in that movie.
Yeah.
You got Rodney Dangerfield, who's like just a grade A psychopath in his movies.
You know, Dan, you're gonna bring up a movie like Caddyshack, and you forgot about Air Bud. Let's get real. Let's be real. Yeah. What about Golden Retriever? What about that one?
Yeah, you're all caught up on that movie. I don't know what it is.
It's a fucking classic.
I'm sure your kids love it.
What about The Big Green?
Big Green, that's dumb. But
wow, you're gonna say The Big Green is dumb. What about Heavyweights? That was a movie about lifting weights and losing weight.
It's an exercise movie.
Chrissy Brinkley was in it.
By the way, that's an awesome movie, but I'm not gonna call that a sports movie. I'm just gonna call that an awesome movie in general.
You know what, Drew?
One of the best PG movies ever.
Probably the best. All right.
So yeah, Caddyshack was the one he brought up. The Natural, which I can't believe I missed it. But that one would have been near my top 10 as well.
I think we were at the game on, we had softball on Monday, and Shitty looked over and he goes, "Pick me a winner, Bobby." And I looked at him and I go, "Did you really just
just quote The Natural in real life?"
And he goes, "Yeah."
Like, during a game.
And then he goes, "Do it now." I was like, "All right, well." I picked him when he flew out.
Yeah,
like, it was a bad pick by my part.
It was like a ground out to third.
I'm pretty sure I heard shit rattling in that Dumery that we were batting.
Did he like point? I think he like pointed a shot too. Did he like point out to left? He's like, "I got the bat. Like this thing got struck."
Riley's like the funniest player to ever go see up and bat, like in softball, because he's got like a really nice swing.
Like he every stop time he's smiling, I feel like.
But it's just a smile. It's like he stares at the pitcher and smiles at him, like with Raleigh finger, like a gelled up mustache.
Curled mustache. Even at age 13, he had a curled mustache.
If you were ever to get in a boxing match, like at the plate, somebody had charged him, he would just do like the fist ups, like fist of Dukes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the old Irish. Put up your Dukes, Irish kind of thing.
Yeah, he probably would. He'd have his helmet, and he'd have that Irish, what do you call it, the fedora, whatever.
Yeah, he was wearing the fedora.
He wears that to bed.
Oh, what an asshole.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to go into...
So we had Caddyshack, we had...
These are the movies that he threw out there. He also threw in Space Jam, Mr. Baseball. Mr. Baseball's decent. Good. I'm skipping Space Jam.
Space Jam is more of a kid's
Bugs Bunny
cartoon.
Bugs Bunny's a dick, so I'm not gonna.
Ooh.
We're gonna skip that.
Okay, how hot and bothered did you get by Lola Bunny?
Who?
Lola Bunny.
Is it real?
Yeah. That's a female. That's a female bunny that's on the show.
Jeez, you really follow.
My kid loves to watch it.
Sure, pal.
Dude, it's on my iTunes.
Okay, I believe you.
Son of a bitch.
Alright, well, I suppose we should probably move on to the main event here, huh? Since you just got all bunny porned on me here.
I'm just saying, like, what did you think about that? Like, at that point in time, as a kid.
Like, cartoons?
Yeah.
I loved cartoons when I was a kid. That's basically what it was.
Cartoon porn? Like, is that what you watched as a kid? It was gross. No, it's not me.
Can we finally move on?
No. Because I just want to make you feel awkward right now.
You're not going to do that, because I don't care... What the hell you have to say?
So. I feel like you're getting awkward right now. I feel like you're getting really awkward.
You're right. You win. What do I do? What do I do now? Where do I go from here?
Camp.
God damn it. Just wait until...
All right, no, let's get into our top 10 moves for this week. This was a random thing.
We were talking about this earlier. We threw in 10 of the best, and this is a nostalgic thing for us.
It's 100% nostalgic.
If you try and tell me that when you were a kid, and maybe not for the ladies out there, but for the men and the boys, we know you'd be lying to us if you said that you didn't watch a little wrestling.
You'd be lying through your fucking teeth.
You'd be lying straight through your teeth.
100%.
Even if you were telling the truth, I would tell you that it's not the truth. I would convince you that you were lying to me. So, with that being said, we're going to get into our top 10 finishing wrestling moves of all time.
Of all time.
And this is a collaborative list between me and
Bob. The reason that they're actually so much, I think that they stick so well with us, is that we actually performed them on our siblings, or else our siblings haven't performed them on us. So
I almost broke my little brother's neck practicing wrestling moves on him, and then
that's why Bradley walks all awkward.
I think we may have broken him a little bit. It was one of those things where like he's your little brother. What are you gonna do? So you give him a wrestling move, and then he would fake an injury sometimes, I think, to get out of getting wrestling moves done to him. But then there was this one time where he didn't fake it, and he landed directly on his head, and we thought he was lying. He got clotheslined off my shoulders, and then the immediate reaction of any little kid back in the day is...
Tears? Crying?
No, not from him. From the other little kid that gave him the wrestling moves, because we were like 12 and 9. The immediate reaction when your brother gets hurt is not, how are you doing? It is,
don't tell mom.
Please, God, don't tell mom. Because
at that point in time, where was your cohort at? Where was that second
brother? So it was a tandem wrestling move where
when you said he got clotheslined.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't just by you.
Yep, we brought in a goon, Casey Solem, friend of ours. I had Brad on my shoulders, and he clotheslined him off of my shoulders, and he landed on his head. We were doing this on a trampoline, and landed on his head, and was trying to breathe, and was having a tough time breathing. Like, he was taking deep breaths, but couldn't catch his breath. And he was oh, my neck. I'm like, oh shit, we broke his neck. Like, whatever. We're just kids. And then, of course, the first thing that Solem does, I'm going to check on my brother. Don't tell mom first. And are you okay second? But Solem goes, all right, guys, that was fun. See ya. And then he gets on his bike and drives away. And then left us to sit there. Typical just, Solem.
You know, Brad died.
Yeah. Just my little brother died.
Casey, let me say something to you real quick. Oh, sorry, Brad. What's up? I gotta go. My parents called me. I heard the dog whistling.
I gotta eat supper. It's 11:30.
Casey, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, late breakfast. Toast.
Yeah, so no, the wrestling moves is... this is a nostalgic type of deal here.
Oh my god, let's get into our
top 10 wrestling moves.
Okay, well, let's go through this real quick to intro it in. What was your top wrestling move that you liked to pull on Brad?
Oh man, I powerbombed him a lot.
Really?
Yeah, that was fun. But the thing is, when you're a little kid though, it's tough to do because you're not as strong when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, Brad, you gotta make sure that you gotta have some momentum for me so we can get this done.
That was the thing between me and you. So you didn't have that strength. I had Sonny, who was 360 pounds.
Oh, yeah, I just beat the hell out of you.
But my fear was in so much impacting the bed. It was I didn't know if Sonny was in a, when he powerbombed me, I didn't know if I was going up into his mouth and I was never going to be seen again.
Because he ate a lot.
I thought that 360 pound body was just going to devour me, so I'd always go like this, and then he would just slam me down. I was like, oh, thank God. It would hurt like
just
hell.
Just a wrestling move.
But hey, I got to see another day.
Yeah. Hey, live to play another one.
And I would just I'd chirp up there, he'd flip me up and be like, did you eat breakfast this morning? And then boom, I was like, oh, you did, okay.
Yeah.
But no, for me, I don't know, the submission moves were my favorite.
There was, you know what?
There was
that's,
like a thing.
That's what's nice about this.
Like
list.
The crippling cross face, Chris Benoit was just that.
That's an outsider that we got it. Well, it's a collaborative. It's between me and me and Bobby's kind of
art. Let's get into it. What do you say?
Yeah, so this is going to be the top 10 wrestling moves finishing wrestling moves in WWE history. This is from when we were kids. Because if we watched it now, we'd probably have the lost life. All respect for ourselves.
Oh, God, 100%.
So, yeah. So, but anyways, so we're going to get into it. And these are all... And another thing, these are submissions, top rope moves, and just regular finishing.
Just flying
regular
high.
Execution moves. I don't care.
And some of these moves are just straight stupid. Like, so I saw one the other day. Sorry for getting off track again, but I saw one the other day where it was just like
some guy just like pulled a fist around some guy's hair before he punched him, and he just took it up and he wound it up and just punched him straight in the face. That was the finishing move. I was like,
it's very creative.
I was like, you guys are very creative nowadays. Like the one power punch, like anybody can do that nowadays. Or
that's basically what every wrestler's ever done ever.
Like. Ric Flair even had like a little bit more creativity when he'd do like the slap before he would actually go and do like the figure four leg lock.
You'd listen. They'd slap each other.
That would be like a hurtful one. I think
like
that would
be the worst. Red hand mark on her chest.
And if you did it to Sold, like it didn't matter. Like if it was like you didn't have any Velcro on your hand, like your hand would be stuck in the intertwines of that chest hair. Like it wouldn't get out. It was like it's like a fly in on a spider web.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's get into it.
Number 10, we did the.
By the way, this goes up. This goes out to Matt Bubendorf, our number one fan, who calls us Muppets, by the way.
Muppets, yes. Well, we're
going to Muppet it up, fucking Weepy Willow.
It's not too far off. That's
fucking handsome man.
Might actually be very accurate. I kind of like it, Muppets. I like the Muppets. Let's get in top 10 Muppets.
Top 10 Muppets.
So anyways, we're number 10. For anybody that remembers the Hardy Brothers.
Oh, the Swanton Bomb.
This is Matt Hardy did a lot more of this. Well, they both did it, but the Swanton Bomb. Like, the Swanton Bomb is like one of those moves where...
It was death defying. Like,
he was going to land straight on his head.
Right.
And then it was like a last second flip
onto
the guy's chest.
I think what made it for me was the fact that it wasn't just him doing it from a certain like distance. Like, it wasn't always like from the rope to like 4 feet away.
No.
He would do it from anywhere.
No, that was.
But like, that's why I think it should have been out there more. But it wasn't like always the finishing move. Like, it would finish him, I think, more than it would finish anybody else off.
The wrestling moves that they do are real. It's the stage outcomes.
Exactly, they're stage outcomes. Like
that's
what I hate about it. Like, they would have like his guy on like a table, 60 or 70 feet away from him, and he would do this flip. And the guy would just randomly like, oh, he's finally coming? Okay, I'm going to get off now. What the fuck? It would take him like 40 minutes to set it up. And all of a sudden, like, now he's like, I'm going to get up.
There's a reason that it's you know, it's fake.
Right?
But I mean, a lot of the shit, like, obviously when they punch each other, they're not punching each other square in the face.
No, they're holding, they're cuffing everything.
Yeah,
they're cuffing it.
It's dumb. But some of the moves, like jumping from top ropes that, like, you can't fake that.
There's a certain sense of athleticism that goes into wrestling itself. Like, you have to have the physical attributes to it. Yeah,
absolutely. You're not going to see, you know, Napoleon Dynamite out there giving guys, you know, rings of Saturn and shit, you know, like... But, you know, that's the thing. Like, this number 10 here, Swanton Bomb, is awesome because the guy would jump off 25-foot ladders, top of cages, land on a guy that's on concrete. What if you miss?
Which
he did sometimes.
We're bringing that up, like, but one of the most iconic things that you can actually go bring about is, like, I remember this still as a kid, like, watching Mankind versus, like, Undertaker.
Well, the best.
And he threw him through the fucking cage? Or, like, threw him
on
a table or on tacks. But there were so many matches like that. But he threw him through one, and he actually, like, chokeslammed it through the cage. Yeah. And his teeth went through his fucking lip. Like, who does that for a show to actually make sure that the fans had a great time?
They're crazy.
I'm not doing that shit. Nope. I'm, like, getting a paper cut to go to work. Like,
I'm workers' comp and paper cut. Questions asked.
I worked with comp my back, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. Yeah. That was stupid. By the way, workman's comp is the biggest joke ever.
It is a joke. Anyways, number 9, Rock Bottom. Mr. Dwayne
The Rock Johnson himself.
That's a setup. Like, there's always, well, he did like the multiple move deal too, where he did like the people's elbow, did all that shit.
But
he
I think said everything. I loved how they developed his character. Like, he, at first, like, he was, I don't know, he was just like a fighter of the people, and then they made him part of like this nation of, remember that? The nation of domination?
Yeah.
It's like a big racist war, and then all of a sudden he just went off in his zone. He's like talking about Poontang all the time, and he was really like
exaggerative, like, yeah, with his, like,
he
his
had, like, Tourette syndrome.
Yeah. It was like watching Michael J. Fox throw a punch.
Kind of, because
like, that's what it was.
It was the eyebrow thing. He did the eyebrow thing.
Yeah, he did. People, he did it a lot,
people's
too.
People's eyebrow or whatever.
But, like, that was, like, iconic for him. Like, he made a role off of, oh, like, yeah, being, yeah, like, I don't know, like, a brown Elvis, in a sense. Like, it's a,
yeah, that's what reminded me of, yeah. He looked like a brown Elvis.
It was like a brown Elvis. Hawaiian, I should say.
Yeah. So, anyway, so, number 8... I like the Macho Man flying elbow off the top ropes.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Brother! Snap into his limb. Like, dude, like, the Macho Man is the most, one of the most entertaining characters in wrestling
history
ever.
You would say
that
say history.
That dude is hilarious. Like, just everything he did was funny.
He had
funny,
that big bucket made cowboy no hat. Sense. It, like, his colors were just outrageous. His sunglasses were outrageous. But he would wear them all the time. Like, he would sport it every day.
Folks, if you get a chance, just go on YouTube and look up Macho Man Randy Savage interviews. They're the funniest shit you'll ever see in your
just
life.
Just veins popping out everywhere. He just looked intense. Just you wonder why he had a heart attack. It was probably because he did interviews.
Making zero sense all the time. Like,
oh, yeah, Miss Elizabeth.
Brother, you don't even know.
Like, yeah, he would
all wrestlers sound like that, but.
But that was the funny thing, too, is, like, I would love to be the journalist that had to write an article for him. Like, you know, you'd have to, like, write that descriptively.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, brother, we went to the grocery store.
Like, it's like all capitals, like, but, like, long drawn out.
Yeah, it sounds like he shit in his pants.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, well, Macho Man, the elbow off the top ropes, though, was, like, simple move. But the thing that made it awesome was, dude, he was always, like, glammed up. He was always glammed up. He was always flared up. He had, like, streamers coming off of his bicep, or off his triceps. He wore that cowboy hat.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like,
crazy colors, like,
there was nobody else that really did that, even, like, out of, like, Ultimate Warrior or, like, Sting, even. Sting,
it wasn't anything that wasn't, like, I mean, it's a move that people do, but, like, the Macho Man did it with some flavor, man.
Yeah, he did,
like, that was his thing.
See, but he was the original flavor. Like,
he was the OG of the flying elbow, man.
Right?
He was.
But then, you know, like, Jimmy Fly Super Stuck Out just, like, did, like, the hands out stuff.
But, that's,
but that was a different, that was a different,
different
move.
Era, too. Yeah. You know, like, Macho Man just did everything with, like, just complete flair and, like, just outlandish, and he was just a crazy character. His character was just, it was just like perfect. It was, he's the man. So anyways, number 7 went to the Pedigree.
Triple H.
Painful looking move, really. I mean, you just, you fold the guy's, you hold the guy's arms, you give him a little double chick wing, you hold your head down, you hold his head down between the legs.
Like, honestly, do you realize, like, how small he looked at that point?
He was a smaller guy.
He was a smaller guy at that point. I think he was like 200. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. He was like 200. Like he was like 220 pounds.
Pre-steroids, probably. Yeah. Like, he was just getting into steroids.
And then he was like 270 pounds.
All the
wrestlers
are,
yeah, no, he's juiced.
All the wrestlers.
For sure.
Juicing, yeah. But yeah, no, that move just looked painful. Like,
yeah.
It developed, like, over time. Because he had, like, different characters.
When you look at it, too, it was like your face is straight up smacking the canvas. Like,
yeah,
that,
yeah. And you can't hold your, you can't protect your face.
No.
I mean,
I think that, like, I didn't realize that.
The moves that they make look more painful are the ones that are the best. And that's why there's one on here that's, like, looks like the most painful thing you'll ever see in your life. We'll get to that one tonight.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Let's see it.
I know. Well, we got some shit to do here.
Let's go on here, brother.
All right. So, going from the Pedigree to the Figure 4 leg lock by
Mr. Is that 3?
Woo!
Natural
Flair.
The Natural Boy. Woo!
Yeah, Mr. Flair doing the figure four leg lock. What's, I mean, come on. When you're a kid, you don't tell me you didn't try that shit on your buddies.
Never once.
What happened to you when you were a kid?
I was dominating everybody. I never got put in that position to lose.
Oh, jeez. Rough life.
Just saying, Drew.
Yeah, no, figure four leg lock, man. How can you not love Flair?
He had a rap video just recently, like some rapper.
I don't want to talk about him now because he's a vegetable.
I'm saying, like, for some rapper, like, that's how iconic he is, like, in any of the industry, like, no matter what, like, the woo and the slap and, like, the figure four.
Oh, yeah,
and,
you ever see,
like, that's iconic. Like, if somebody makes a video about you nowadays,
you,
like, what's
it? Yeah, but I'm saying, you gotta put that
wheeling, dealing, jet fade, pass.
The football,
like,
players?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like,
give me a 2 claps and a woo!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's iconic that somebody actually pays tribute to you like that.
That is legit, yeah.
So,
2 claps and a Ric Flair. Pop, pop, woo! No, like, the figure four leg lock, it was, like, the move that, like, it was just so much stuff going on down there. like it was like the legs. It was just like a pretzel. Like you couldn't tell whose legs was whose.
And no, it was a tangled mess. It was like pulling your chains. Like if you have two chains on your chest together, like trying to pull them apart in the morning, like after going to sleep with them on, or like your cable cord for like your phone, right? Like, pulling out your charger cord and getting it tangled up. Like no, it's like just a damn mess.
It's just a mess, and it was awesome. Because
it's like, ridiculous.
Once I figured out how to do that when I was a kid, I was like, shit, that's my favorite move.
That move actually, like, there's some moves that actually put some paint on you. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
The power bombs.
Some, like, knee down. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yeah, that or the sharpshooter. Like, when you're sitting back on the sharpshooter, you're bending it down.
On your back, yeah, oh, absolutely, God. Man. Yeah, I have still a back problem.
Sonny tried doing it to me the other day, and I actually.
Grown men style?
Like, he was, yeah, Sonny was a grown ass man. I was like, hey, Sonny, show McCoy what to do to me. So, like, Sonny tried doing it, and Sonny, like, tried flipping over, and there's no way in hell I'm that flexible anymore. So, like, Sonny did it, and, like, my body didn't roll over, and Sonny didn't roll over at the same time, so it was just stiff leg, and we both fell over. Well, Sonny fell over, I was running the ground.
See, we used to have some flexibility back then.
God damn, yeah, we're old.
All right, so, figure four leg lock with the Nature Boy. Number five, you got the 5-star frog splash. Done by multiple people. But none better than Eddie Guerrero. He's kind of the pioneer of the 5-star frog splash, I think.
Build that wall, see what happens. We'll fucking have to send Eddie Guerrero's over.
Yeah,
we'll
be frog splashing right over that wall. They don't give a shit.
Eddie Guerrero is like it's not even so much like a racial thing. Like, he's just a pioneer of the sport, I think, of wrestling. And I didn't realize it until after, like, he died, like, what he had actually done, like, the people he fought, the people he brought up.
He did
dedication to the sport that he had of it.
Well, he didn't, the thing about him is he didn't, he was one of the more reckless wrestlers.
Yeah, because he knew that he was putting on a show for people,
he put it all on the line. I mean, like, the thing about that, why I put it on here in the first place is because he was the guy that would do that 5-star basically belly flop is what I mean. It's a eccentric belly flop.
Yep.
But he would do it from, you know, 30-foot ladders.
Any distance, yeah.
Top of a cage. Like, he'd do it from anywhere. He'd do it onto, and then he'd do it onto, like, ladders. He'd do it onto, like, chairs and stuff. Yep. It was just fun to watch.
I 100% agree with you on that part.
And that's why I put that one in there, but.
I think that's why it's so surprising to me, is that, I mean, to see that you did it was, like, actually a really surprising factor, because I think that anybody else would have probably, like, put it in the back end, the 10 spot.
But you
saw what it was for. It was like he would do it anywhere. He was daring for it, so.
Oh, yeah, he was a daredevil, man. He was one of the better daredevils in the sport with the Hardy Brothers and a lot of guys.
There's hundreds of guys.
Oh, just tons. But then number four, I got Undertaker, Tombstone Piledriver.
Dirty move.
It's dirty that's move. Another cripple people. It looks stupid painful. Like, it looks like it'd be a nightmare. Like, if it was real. Because obviously he doesn't actually slam them on their head, you can see it. But sometimes I'm sure that it happened, but that move was like it was a painful looking move. I mean, like, if you watch it, first of all, the Undertaker as a character in general was one of my favorites, because it was like the most intimidating.
I think he's
the most intimidating character in WWE history.
Don't get me wrong, he's very intimidating, but I think looking at Paul Bearer's pasty white body prior to him being dead, like, it just gave you, it, like, honestly made you, like, think about the future
It's all acting, but it's fucking, good acting. It's good.
Paul Bearer's,
like, I don't care what anybody says.
Paul Bearer's character was, like, it was horrifying.
It's like theater. It's like,
but it was good.
It's like cheap theater.
It was cheap theater.
But the Undertaker's, the Tombstone Piledriver was, like, the way he, like, dropped the guy in his head, did that whole thing, picked him up, tipped him upside down, put him, like, his
head
in
his knees,
and then folded his hands over his chest.
Do you remember how outlandish he got, like, in, like, wrestling, like, before you quit watching it? Like, when would you say you quit watching it? Like, what era of, like, wrestlers were in there?
Oh, man. I was probably, like, 12, 13, probably. So it'd been, like, Stone Cold, The Rock was still around.
I say, like, that's what I thought, too, right? Like,
it's, like, 20, but, it's like 18 years
but ago. Was that, like, when Undertaker was making, like, Stephanie McMahon have a baby with her?
I don't know. They got
like, to that's the point what I mean. There were so many theatrics, and I was like, what is going on? why like, am I watching this as a kid? I looked at myself and I was like, Days of Our Lives looks a lot better right now.
It's the same thing without violence. Or maybe a little violence, but... No, like, my parents, like, didn't even want me watching wrestling because it was so dumb and stupid.
Like, some of the premises and whatnot. But, like, a lot of the stuff was cool as a kid. Like, if you were to watch, like... To me, like, one of the iconic things I remember as a kid watching wrestling was Lex Luger picking up Yokozuna and body slamming.
That was the coolest thing in the world.
I was like, holy shit. Picked up, like, a 500-pound human
being. It's so exciting for, like, 11-year-old kids.
Well, yeah, when you hear 500 pounds, like... Yeah. You think like 20 pounds.
He got him. And, you know, it's like.
But you think like 20 pounds is so heavy. Yeah. You're like, as a kid, like,
just pound it out. Yeah. You're up there, like, you have like a baseball
ball. Apples and McCoy's up there eating apples and peanut butter, by the way. Paul, okay, so our friends just moved back into town. The Germans, literally their name is Germans, Paul.
Yeah.
So they moved in town, and he looked at McCoy and he goes, Bobby, McCoy's got a really good arm. And I go, well, yeah, I hope to God so. Me and Drew started training him at like 1 year old. Like, we were making sure you had the tee. You got to form the tee thanks to gusto. You got to throw it in there. You got to make sure you're doing it accurate over the top. Yep. And he goes, really? And I go, I can't remember to tell you the truth. I mean, we would have been drunk, but I think we were trashing Chinese or something. I couldn't remember. But, oh, no, God, dude.
He was mechanics.
But he's getting hands, though. Like, my little pudgy son is getting hands. So, like, I'm just hoping he's going to be like that.
Pudgy anymore.
He's going to be that running back out of the backfield, hopefully, at one point. He's going to dominate Brady Oliveira. Brady, if you're listening, that's your own fault.
Yeah. McCoy, who knows? He might. As long as he doesn't get any of your genetics, he's got a shot to be a decent athlete. So.
Well, that was really hateful. It's coming from the modern day. Professor Xavier centered up right now, guys.
Oh, man. That's kind of a compliment, too, I think. So, anyways.
Come on, Charles.
We got three left.
Come on, Charles.
We're into the top three.
Charles.
The Sharpshooter.
Ooh, that's a good move, too. Spread the amen art.
Those Canadian motherfuckers. I mean, those guys can...
That's not even like one person. Like, that's a family that defined the sport of wrestling at that point.
Are they actually family? I don't even know. Are they?
Owen?
I know they had the same last name on the show, but...
Okay, so, like, as far as I remember, like, Bret the Hitman's Hart, like, his dad started, like, the wrestling company himself. He had Bret. He had, like, a bunch of sisters. He had Owen.
Yeah. Maybe. He had the English brother.
He had the English brother.
Jim Neidhart is one of them. Anvil Neidhart.
How the fuck do you... Like, oh, yeah, Anvil. There you go.
Anvil Neidhart, yeah.
But there was another one, too. There was the Bulldog. The British Bulldog was another brother.
No, he wasn't.
He was a brother-in-law. Yes, he was.
No, he was not.
Yes, he was. He was a brother-in-law.
Shenanigans. Somebody correct us. Somebody do something about this.
Speaking about shenanigans...
We have a beer.
Indeed Brewing. Thank you for shenanigans. Summer Ale. We much appreciate it. We'll taste test some more later. That honestly fell right in my lap, by the way.
Yeah, I bet it did.
I swear, you're the one who said shenanigans, not me, asshole.
I set you up. You're welcome.
Oh, God, I'm fucking quick on my feet.
Anyway, Sharpshooter's not a move that was, like, super painful looking. Like, he wasn't on a guy's back.
It was the back, and it was, like, the leg. It was the legs, like, tied up. But it was, like, the knees.
It was almost like a reverse figure four.
Yeah, or, like, yeah. It was just jacked up. I think he had more leverage, obviously.
But, like, then everybody started doing that. Like, Sting did the Scorpion Deathlock, which was the exact same thing.
Okay, so you think about that. You think of the Lion Tamer, basically.
That without the leg pretzel.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, we're going to spread them out.
Walls of Jericho. Yeah, same thing. Whatever.
Here's one thing that is, like, you see those submissions back in the day, like, in wrestling. Why can't you do them right now in, like, UFC?
It's a good question.
You know how much I would pay to see somebody like try to do a Lion Tamer in the UFC and like knowing somebody can actually just grab your ankles and just like pull it back?
Legitimately turn around and just like destroy
it. Are you trying to do a Lion Tamer on me? No, I wasn't trying to do it.
I'm trying to win, man.
I'm just trying to win. This is my move.
All right, so now we're getting down to our two favorites here. Easily, this one looks like the most painful one by far. And I would say.
Oh,
in
God.
My opinion, outside of the
two. Okay, what about DDP? Okay, let's...
Don't do Diamond Cutter. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this right now. We're not going to do Diamond Cutter. Not gonna do it. Put your hands down. God damn it. All right.
Oh, God.
So, number two, we get Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music. The kick straight to the jaw.
But it's not even just like, it's not even like, I can't even count that as a fake move.
It's not. Because you just kick him.
Whereas like we would count like the whatever the Rock's move is.
Yeah, rock bottom.
Like you huddle somebody underneath your chin and you like corral them to the ground. Like, it hurts. But you actually hear like a slap of the fucking jaw. Like from like a chin or a heel.
The sweet chin music is it looks badass.
But then
everything about it is a badass move.
But that's the thing too, it's like you see the spit flying. Like I'm pretty sure they picture the spit flying out, like do the spit flying because it would make it look great.
Yeah.
And it's like a solid whap of the face and
they play it off too. Like even if it's every part about it is awesome. Guys jump at him on the top ropes, he gets him there.
Yeah.
He when they're not looking, they turn around, they're a little woozy, turns around and gets him there.
Exactly.
Like, the guy hits you with the sweet chin music anyway.
You know what's crazy though?
Hits you in the lobby, hits you in McDonald's.
You put the number three, the sharpshooter.
Yeah.
By the number two.
Yes.
There was like a big controversy about them fighting.
Yeah, well, it was a big match at one point in time. Those two guys were like rivals.
Like, well, Vince McMahon actually like, so Bret Hart didn't want to lose that match, and like Vince McMahon supposedly made him lose that match, without him knowing that he was going to lose that match. It was like a whole big thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. I don't really remember that part. I just
remember seeing documentaries about it. Like, I don't know. I watch a lot of shit.
There's all kinds of wrestling shit out there. Right? Yeah, it's just that Shawn Michaels, that move is just, it's too badass, man.
Oh, God.
It's too good.
But, like, even jarring up your foot, like, I feel like I want to do it, like, some days nowadays to my boss, like, just sweet chin music coming up.
Oh, yeah. He's like, what do you mean? I got to work overtime? Yeah. And then it's like, you hear the...
Exactly. It's like,
Shawn Michaels theme song.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there slapping my leg in the break room.
Opens the door and Bob and comes in with the sweet chin.
Hey, we want you guys coming to three. Flying in the face. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, no, the number one.
This is the number one for us. This is our top 10 list, guys. So,
yeah, so we don't,
if you guys have something, if somebody's going to say something stupid like Rey Mysterio 619 or any stupid show like that, this is a collaborative of ours.
This is dual.
How we should do it from now on. I think we should have a duel, like both saying
dual
something.
Top 10 might work. Yeah. Well, This list, there's only one move here that could work for me as number one.
It's the only one I think of.
And it's my twin brother. You know, he probably has 70 pounds on me, but it's my twin brother, Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's the Stunner.
It's Goldberg. If you guys remember Goldberg from WWE.
Goldberg?
No, Goldberg.
Oh, no.
Do you remember Goldberg?
No.
You don't remember?
No.
All right, guys. We're going to do a little treat for you tonight. We're going to actually play some audio in the background. Of Drew seeing for the first time Goldberg from WWF. Oh, Drew, you're in for a treat, my friend. Go ahead and talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin's steal, please.
I don't know if I want to listen to your shit, though, either.
No, you want to.
Okay. So, anyways.
You're going to commentary.
Stone Cold Stunner, man. Stone Cold Stunner is the most translatable move ever. You can do that anywhere. You can do it. He Stone Cold stunned pretty much everybody in the history of wrestling. Like, the guy just would Stone Cold Stun. He'd Stone Cold Stun your mom. He doesn't matter. Like, that guy would take you down. It didn't matter. He'd drink beer in your face, which we can appreciate, because it's the greatest thing ever.
Right there. Oh, it's so good.
You're ruining a great moment with me and my twin brother here, okay. Stone Cold, and his move, the Stunner.
Jesus, that's what Stone Cold was
it. He Jameis Winston it because he would do his move to women. It didn't matter. He'd do it to everybody.
Stone Cold was the bomb. I don't know about that. Stone Cold is the genius.
He's like my twin brother. I love the guy.
He was an absolute genius when it comes to this.
Yep.
By the way, how did it feel when my kids came out today, McCoy, of all people who, if he doesn't know anybody, like hasn't seen him for like weeks at a time, he just like goes and hides behind my shoulders. He came out and goes, "Hi, Uncle Drew."
Yeah, I talked to him 1 week.
Now I'm thinking about it, like, how long have you been at my house?
Oh, for real, yeah.
Like,
you're still here, huh? You didn't leave since last Thursday, huh?
Were you sleeping?
No.
No, I don't.
See?
Wait, what?
It's the Stone Cold look. It charms the kids, I guess.
You know, Drew.
Yeah.
You've always been a brother to me, you know that. But that's...
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good top 10 there, I'm not going to lie. I think people probably might throw out an opinion here and there that... might disagree with, but who knows? Might throw it on there.
Hey folks, we're gonna do a little segue real quick. So I actually, if you guys don't know who Gilbert is,
I don't know.
Go to your YouTube.
Why are you doing this yourself?
Not to myself. It's to yourself. And it oh God, when people see it, they can actually remember what it looks like. But Drew reminds me exactly of this one guy on this show. We're not gonna do volume up. We're just gonna kind of discuss it.
So that's cool, when Drew. Beers kick in, this is what happens. We do this stuff like this. No, Gilbert. We're looking up a guy named Gilbert, a wrestler named Gilbert.
You don't remember this?
No.
At all. Like, as a, nothing?
No, I don't.
It's so iconic. It's unreal. Like, he was the replacement for Goldberg.
And they called him Gilbert.
Drew, I feel like I should turn the volume. Sorry, fans. We're going to do
coming,
that.
It's coming. You got to turn it on, though. Oh no, they actually did do this?
Guys, go on YouTube, check out Gilbert, and watch us if you guys can. We're waiting for Goldberg to come out.
This is so dumb. Like, see, this is why people stop watching wrestling. Right here, this is the reason.
This is right around the time that I quit watching.
Yeah, what he's like 12.
But it was just hilarious.
Oh no, this is.
Oh God.
This is fake, right?
That was real.
Like, this had to be like a joke, right? I mean, like, that was part of this, the acting.
He actually fought. Well, yeah, it was a big fake out, but he actually fought in like this show.
Oh, man.
It's not even the best part, Drew. The best part is when he comes out, like, you know how the Goldberg had this, like, the sparks or whatever.
Yeah, this I've never seen
it. Oh, like, just wait for it.
Folks, you gotta look this up. Gilbert. I mean, this is real. I didn't think this. I thought Bobby was screwing with me.
Oh, God, no. It is a real thing. Drew, let's hear your take from it. All right, we're gonna turn down the volume so that we don't have the background noise. Looking at that, what does that do for you? Like, as a human being that's never seen that.
Well, first of all, I realized how stupid I was for actually watching a lot of this. Secondly, they basically took a guy off the street. 75 pounds lighter than Goldberg with no muscle at all. 75 pounds lighter.
I'm thinking like 125 or 150.
Maybe 150 pounds. Yeah, lighter guy. This guy.
But, okay, so that.
Oh, no, this is a joke.
Oh, God.
This poor guy. I can't believe they did this to a guy. Like.
Oh God!
Oh, no, that's
guys.
This is bad.
Please do it. If you guys get a chance, check out Gilbert. Just watch his highlights. They're literally putting sparklers around him over Goldberg's sparks, and he's touched him. Oh, he got burned by him.
He did.
Oh God.
Okay.
So yes. All right, guys. We close her out right now with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Stone Cold Stunner, Gilbert. But we're gonna do one last thing. We're gonna do. Whiskey talk. That's how we're going to end this segment out. Drew, let's do whiskey talk for the night. What do you say? We pour them up, hang them out. Let's say cheers.
I'm not hanging anything out, but...
But, hey, it's a good podcast, by the way. There's a lot of people that like it.
Well, you know, I feel like we're kind of in the middle of, you know, Twins suck. We're in the middle of, like, the sports abyss, is the way Paul Allen likes to say it. Where there's not a lot going on.
No, and I agree with PA a lot. Like, it's unreal, like, what we don't have to actually discuss about right now.
Yeah, no, it's the middle of the summer is typically the time where, like, the sport, there's one that's baseball going on. And I love baseball. I watch a ton of it. But it's the middle of the sports, like, abyss is what they call it, because it's not, like, there's not a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah.
So let me ask you this, Drew. Whiskey. We're doing whiskey talk.
We're going to do a whiskey talk.
No, we both played baseball. We both played sports in general, I should say.
Yeah, we both played multiple sports, yes.
Tell me if you've ever been able to relate to a situation such as, like, Arkansas had to relate the other day playing in the College World Series, right? Not the other day, but like recently, where they dropped the ball. Oh. Oregon State scores three.
They go into
what
game
is my
two,
opinion
they go
on,
into game three,
what is my
they
opinion
win five.
On the Arkansas Razorback choke job? Well, okay, no, like, here's the thing.
We've all had instances where we felt like we've lost it for our team.
Yeah.
Right?
The thing about that is that was a fundamental screw up by the outfielder. I mean, the outfielder that has to take control of that play.
Right.
Like any like that's the outfield, the right fielder's ball. When they come in and they, I mean, I get it. There's multiple people around. It can be like a little bit, but I'm not sure. Like, I don't think anybody was calling it.
Yeah.
But the right fielder had a shot at that ball more than anybody. He needed to come in, needed to call people off, needed to go catch the ball. That was a momentum swinger, man.
They scored three runs off that.
And you remember when I was talking about how when the Gophers were playing the Oregon State in the Super Regionals, I was going, this is the most talented team in college baseball.
What did they lose that second game by?
Oregon State or
Ghosts. Like, what did they lose that second game by?
It was 5-3. I think 5-3 or 6. It was
close. It was a tight series for the rest out?
Yeah, it was a close three. I mean, they lost, two games. The best of three, they lost two games. But Oregon State, like I said, when we were watching that in the first episode, when we were watching it live.
Yeah.
The Gophers, had they played anybody else besides Oregon State, they would have had a shot. They would have shot against a lot of those teams.
To get us a championship.
To get into the World Series.
Agree, yeah.
To get into the College World Series. But they ran into...
China.
Oh, China. Gross. They ran into the most talented team in college baseball. And then Arkansas is very good, too. They're talented. But what happened with Arkansas was they won that first one or whatever.
Okay.
And then the second that play happened, the momentum of that series changed completely. Oregon State won that game in extras.
Yeah.
And then they went and played that second game. And I mean, it was just like everything just kind of at that point crumbled. And that right fielder has to call that ball. He has to call for that ball. It's his ball. Has to.
Okay. So if Minnesota would have bent or would have beat Oregon State, would it have been easily to say that Minnesota is going to win the national championship?
Do they have a shot at winning the national championship?
Would they have won that national championship is basically what I'm asking. Like, would it have been basically like a reverse role where like Oregon State would have been?
No. There was no guarantee.
They had a tough road to follow, right?
There was no guarantees. They would have, the Gophers would have, if they would have made it to the World Series, I still don't think they would have won it. But they belonged there. Like, had they not played Oregon State, I think they had a team that belonged there. But it was just a bad matchup, and it fell that way and whatever. But yeah, Oregon State national champs. Like, you can't fall. You lose to the national champs. It's not that, you can't really.
No.
You had a good season, and then you just lost to a really, really, really good team. And it is what it is. National champ. You lost to the national champs. Nothing to hang your head over. Whatever.
All right, Drew. So we're approaching the July time, right? So we're
the month of July, yes.
Right? July 4th, we're talking hot dogs, we're talking about steaks and burgers on the grill.
First of all, you bring that up. So I'm not going to be able to enjoy the 4th of July all that much because the 4th of July falls on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
It might as well be fucking Flag Day.
America.
It might as well be Flag Day. That's because I can't.
I agree with you.
But like, when the 4th of July falls on a Wednesday, you get no weekend. One or the other, you don't get a weekend.
I'll tell you this right now.
So it's like, God, you wish you could just.
I enjoy days like July 4th or.
It's one of my favorite holidays when it's on the right
Christmas,
day.
Obviously, Christmas. I enjoy it because no matter what day it is, that's the day it falls on. It's like, if it's going to be a Wednesday, it's going to fall on Wednesday. They're not going to move it up to a weekend so they have a better weekend.
Right.
But.
I wish they did.
Oh, I just looked over at Gilbert as a highlight, and it was just, like, great. But it just gives me a lot more, happiness, actually, when I actually get to see something like that being on a day, like, and people going to celebrate. Like, I know on July 4th, people are still going to shoot off fireworks. People are still going to celebrate
the
troops.
Yeah, but you want to be at the lake. I want to be at the lake on the 4th of July.
Not. Like, for me, not so much. Like, to me, the lake doesn't matter. Like, as long as I'm around good people, that's all that matters. Like, I could be at the lake. I could be in a hut in Alaska. It doesn't matter. Like, I could...
Right. I get it.
As long as we're all good people, like, yeah. That's all that matters.
I get it. Happy 4th of July to all of you folks over there. But as a pessimistic person, 4th of July on a Wednesday is bullshit.
Drew wasn't even born. He thought we were going to lose World War II. Like, that's how pessimistic he is. Ooh, and China's going to go for the pedigree.
Oh, he put his knee down. That's going to kill him.
But yeah, obviously.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. Well, all right. That's Whiskey Talk. Guys, we're going to come out with you with another episode, what, next week? Are we going
to
do it on
the 4th? Try to get another one in next week before the 4th. Well, we might do it on the 4th and light off some shit. We might light off some fireworks on the 4th. Who knows?
How patriotic would that be if we did that?
Man, that would be... I think the Founding Fathers would be proud of us, to be honest with you.
Guys, I think that might actually be the possibility. We might actually do the next podcast over the 4th with a special guest host. I'm not going to say who, but I think that we actually might have a few different ones, to truthfully. Thinking Bob Sacked. But regardless, we might have a few different people here with us. A bunch of different talks is what I'm going to assume. And it's going to be a lot of outlandishness.
Which is what we do anyways. So every episode is complete garbage. So that's just...
Yeah, and I think alcohol might play a little bit closer to a role in this whole ordeal. So, for the next week.
Couldn't agree more.
So, just be ready for it, guys. We're not trying to make anybody unweary about it. But, we'll talk to you soon. Drew, any last remarks?
No.
That's happiness right now. Everything's about the you, baby. Go swag.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.